is the power of Christ in me. From life's first love to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. Before there was light, walked across the pages of time. He who made everything, behold him. He who heard humanity's cry, led his throne to wait, left his throne behind. He became like the least of us. Behold him, Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, the Lamb, the Roaring Lion. Oh, be still and behold him. He who died with sinners and saints, healed the blind, the lost and the lame. Even now he is in our midst. Behold him. He who chose a criminal's end, paid with blood to settle our debt. Buried death as he rose to life. Behold, Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, Lamb of the Roaring Lion. Oh, be still and behold, Jesus, Alpha and Omega, our God, the risen Savior. Oh, be still and behold. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy, worthy, worthy to receive all praise. Sing it out. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy, worthy, worthy to receive all praise. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy, worthy, worthy to receive all praise. Jesus, Son of God, Messiah. behold him. Tackle in Christ alone.
So if you got a pen, I don't need one. Anybody good? So
the singing. So
do you have the one that it says in Christ alone, E68 BPM at the top? You have that one. So you're good. You have that one?
With the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. And well said.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Thank you for that. Sounded great. Also love the world without end. Howdy, howdy, New Life Church. It's good to be up here. It's only my third Sunday, so it's nice to be up here and go through everything. I believe that something's ministered to me this morning, I believe. And will minister to you as well. But a little bit of housekeeping. That was weird, the new guy doing housekeeping. Right? But three quick things. So the first thing is we had our men's work day yesterday. Thank you for all the guys that came out. So coming to men's work day doesn't get you into heaven. Yeah, but you get some extra rewards when you get there, right? So for those of you guys that missed it, balcony in glory. It's a joke. Okay? But if you'll throw up that next slide, we will find something. You guys notice that? Okay, go to the next slide. Now, do you notice it? So we got some rafters that we just need to do a little bit of work on. We're actually going to have a special men's work day this coming Saturday, 9 p.m. We should go in there. If we can get 10, 12 guys.
A.M.
I said p.m., didn't I? Yep. There we go. If we can get 10, 12, yeah, I was testing you guys, A+. Gotcha. Right, making sure you're on your toes. If we can get about 10 guys, we'll probably knock it out in about 2 hours. And I'll even cook burgers, hot dogs, something for you there next door, because thanks to George, I now have 3 grills, so we'll fill them all up if you guys come. The second thing, if you would, just do me a favor. I'm new here. Every person I meet is a brand new name. So if you'll scan that code, you can do it now, go to it later. It's a little Google form. Just going to ask your name, phone number, email address, and then a picture. And if you send me all of that, I will print all that off, and I will pretend like I'm back in Greek going through flashcards, and I will learn your name. On the other side, if you don't do that, in 3 weeks from now, do not get upset with me if I don't know your name yet. So I want to learn y'all's names. That's the way you guys can help me out, love me with all of that. And then the third thing, I'm sure some of y'all have noticed, many of y'all have already commented, I'm not standing behind a black table this morning. So, as I know that Andrew, when he got here, he took the old pulpit down, put the table up. And I want to make sure you guys know, Andrew knows that I have this. This is something. We talked about this actually as far back as before I was offered the job. I have pulpits. It's an issue of preference for me. Right? That's what it is. I'm a guy. I love pulpits and tall steeples and stained glass. I love those sorts of things. It's my preference. And I'm thankful that here we don't have an issue where preference is an idol, where it has to be a table, where it has to be a pulpit. Guys, the gospel goes forth from pulpits every Lord's Day. It also goes forth from black tables and from music stands. It goes forth from men holding it in their hands. It goes forth in back rooms, in dark alleys. The gospel goes forth, and the gates of hell does not prevent it. On the other hand, there are also false gospels preached every Lord's Day. Some preached even from pulpits that I have to go and pray and confess my envy of after I see them. Right, so this is a preference thing. This isn't me versus him. So I just want to cover that. So that way everybody knows. Right, I like old stuff. So that's me. I just want to sit around with books. right? And my dogs. That's everything I have. And so this is an item. And I want to keep preaching from this. So if I hear an Andrew versus Winchester pit, or I want the pulpit more. No. If it turns into you guys trying to pit us against each other, I will stop preaching from this, and I will be upset because I want to keep preaching from this. All right? So we're on the same page, right? It's just preference. That's just goes to show you that different doesn't always mean wrong. Sometimes it just means a little bit different. So this morning, we got to jump in because I can't wait to preach. The first time I went through this, I was longer than you guys would like. This morning, our text is going to be from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15. I've asked Rose to come and do our reading for us this morning. I like having other people read it. And I'm also going to kind of learn something together. It's going to be a little awkward. Some of you might love it. You used to do it. Some of you, it's going to feel weird. When she gets up, I'm going to ask you to turn there. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15, your Bible, or you can turn there on your tablet or phone. If you don't have a Bible, it's page number 1020 in this pew Bible. There. Right? So if you need to turn there, you can. And when she comes up and gets there, and you can start making your way up, I'm going to ask you to stand once you get there out of reverence for the reading of God's Word. We just do this as a way to remind us these aren't the words of mere men. These aren't my words. These aren't even Paul's words. These are the words of a holy God. And so we will just stand to honor the reading of God's Word. And don't worry, I'm not going to make you stand every time I have another scripture for the sermon. Oh, yeah, we do. Just yell.
They didn't tell me I was supposed to share this.
All right. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them. 1 Timothy 1:15.
This is the word of the Lord. And you guys now say, thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Awesome. We got a long time to get that perfected. Don't worry. We will definitely get better at that. Thank you. You guys may be seated now.
Once we say thank you to God, just
go ahead and start sitting down. So as we jump in this morning, and I go ahead and put this microphone back so we don't lose it somewhere else. Andrew said I could preach whenever I wanted to. And I'll be honest, I usually don't like that. I like preaching through books. I usually want to come up with sermon titles. I think my favorite sermon title is me and my father one time preached through Luke for 2 years, and he would have these great titles, and my title would be Luke Part 12. And if you guys remember last week, Luke Part 11. As we jump in this morning, we're going to see the words that I hope get put on my own tombstone, my very own epitaph. My dad, I remember when I was growing up, preached a sermon and challenged people to write your own epitaph. I've told my own family, this is what I want on mine. I've even said, if you run out of letters, if you're broke, just leave my name off of it. I'd rather than know this. And when we look and even think about what would our epitaph be for me, this is it. It's interesting to consider I grew up in the day and age when I was promised I could change the world, and yet the honest truth is for most of us, if not all of us in this room, statistically, we will be completely and utterly forgotten, even by our family, won't even remember our name 100 years after we die. Those are the stats. Some people make it out of that, but most of us don't. But even thinking about that, for me, it's almost this encouraging thought. It reminds me of a quote by C.T. Studd, who said, only one life shall soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ shall last. I even have it up in my own house. For me, our text this morning is what I want there on my grave, because I believe this verse says out the gospel in a way that no other verses can. There's so many great gospel verses. This one is my favorite. And this morning, as we go in, we're going to consider three main things that we see here in this text. The first, we see the sinner. We'll work our way backwards. Next, we see the salvation. And then, most beautifully of all, we see Christ, our glorious Savior. Now, I believe that all of us in this room who are Christians would say that we believe that Christ came to save sinners. And this is now where you guys say, amen. Well, I go down south, I'm going to get a little bit excited, you guys got to talk back to me, or I might just preach long until you talk back to me, right? So, we all say, yeah, of course he came to save sinners. That's what he did. That's the whole point. And we would even say, hey, I'm one of the sinners that Christ came to save. Of course, that's the whole point of the gospel. If you don't say that, you're not a Christian, are you? Although we in the church often ask as though we were sinners who were saved, and not that we are sinners who are being saved, right? Am I the only person who's been in churches like that? Oh, I used to sin a long time ago, but I haven't done it in a good 10 years. At least not the kind that I think are bad. Right? And so we are being saved. We're not just saved back when we don't just have the gospel to bring us in and then go into other things. So we have been saved. We are being saved. We will be saved. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2 shows this clearly. Where Paul writes, the inspiration of God the Spirit. Now I want to make clear to you, for you, brothers and sisters, the gospel I preach to you, which you received, on which you have received, on which you have taken your stand, and by which you are being saved. Sorry, I just noticed that I got the slides up there too. Right? And we, though justified and made holy in the moment of our salvation, we're still sinners. We're still broken. We still wrestle and fight against our flesh and this world and the devil. And if you're anything like me, it's usually my flesh. Sometimes we give the devil far too much credit with our own mind that leads us astray. And if you think I'm wrong, go read Romans 7. I'd love to take you out to lunch and talk to you about it. That's the struggle we all have. And I want to be clear before we go in, right? We should hate our sin. I hate mine. I can't wait to get to the new earth and have a body that doesn't sin. We should fight our sin. We should run from our sin. We should regularly repent and take our sin to Christ, confessing our sin to trusted brothers and sisters. I said trusted, right? Sometimes you need wisdom and telling someone what's going on. But we must remember that we are still sinners in need of being saved. Because we don't need to use binoculars like so many churches to spy out the sins of everyone else. And when it comes to our own sin, we put on blindfolds. Anyone else ever done that? I've done it before. Anyone else been in churches where the binoculars were on you and the blindfolds were on everybody else? Not this one, of course. If you're only going here, don't raise your hand. But if you came from another church, put it up. Right? We're so scared sometimes to be honest about our own sin. It's easy to hate the sins of others, but when it's our own sin, what if someone finds out? I love, there's a Puritan pastor, Richard Sives, and he said, a sincere Christian hates sin in himself the most. Guys, there is sin that I hate. I even almost teared up this morning in Andrew's office, mentioning something that I think God is angry at. This sin. But even more than I hated the sin I mentioned to him, I hate the sin in my own heart. I hate the things that tempt me. I hate the things that crawl in. I wish that I was further along than I was. And maybe I'm the only one that wishes they were more sanctified. But I wish I was. So we could all admit we are sinners, or at least were. But how many of us would be honest enough to say, yeah, I'm the worst? Would you, how many of us, if we read this verse aloud, it would be sin, for we would be lying. We wouldn't consider ourselves that way. I think for many of us in the church, we believe that we are a sinner, or at least were, but we're not as bad as that drunk that was passed out last night. Oh, he's much, much worse than me. So we can all agree the words of Jesus said, if you even have that second look, you're guilty of adultery, but I'm nowhere near as bad as those kids running around that have a high count. I'm not that bad. Right? We turn ourselves, we try to figure out how am I better than these other people. Now we're the broken sinners. So we often look down on those whom we deem to be more sinful than us. I do it. When I'm less, I'm not as bad as that guy. Look at that. Now all the places he's holier than me, I don't look, but the places he's worse than me, I do. It reminds me of this parable that Jesus told in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. It's on the screen, or you can turn there yourself. And he, Christ Jesus, also told this parable to some who, look, trusted in themselves that they were righteous and looked down on everyone else. You ever had that happen to you? You feel too good. I've been on both sides of that coin, Lord, forgive me. Two men went up to the temple to pray, and one was a Pharisee. And we think Pharisee, we think bad guy. Well, if the Pharisees were the who's who, the holy, it would have been like your favorite preacher in town. Pharisee and the tax collector, man so evil, we don't even have a category. The Pharisee was standing and praying like this about himself. God, thank you. Thank you that I am not like those other people. I'm not greedy and unrighteous, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I wonder if he said it loud enough for that man to hear. If he's like the Pharisees I've met, I bet he didn't. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of everything I get. This guy looks good, but the tax collector, standing far off, would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but kept striking his chest and saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Some denominations refer to this as the Jesus prayer. I'd recommend praying it. Just try it out. Try it once a day for a week. I had that challenge, and I don't go 3 days without saying it. I tell you, said Christ, this one went down to his house justified rather than the other, because everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. I love that, because sometimes I've gotten down pretty low. I think we all have, if we're honest with ourselves. Maybe we didn't let the neighbor see it, but we've all had a worse day. We've all had that day of darkness and depression. We've all had that day where we go, is it always going to be like this? Is this not what so many accuse the church of Jesus doing still, though? Is it not? In his famous book, The Ragamuffin Gospel, Brennan Manning, who's an author I love, I don't agree with everything he said, but I still love him, okay? One of my favorites, though. He said, the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, walk out the door, and deny him by their lifestyles. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. I'll give you an example of real life. So Gandhi, we all know who Gandhi is, right? Everyone knows who Gandhi is. At least the good stuff. Well, Gandhi was friends with this evangelical missionary, E. Stanley Jones. He wrote a book called With Christ on the India Road. In fact, it got to the point that Gandhi really fell in love with Jesus, to the point that he kept a handwritten copy of the Sermon on the Mount with him at all times. Whenever he would meet with people, he would read the very words of Christ. And yet, at one point, E. Stanley Jones presses in to have that gospel conversation. Something that I need the Spirit to lead me into more of. I need to be there. Maybe I'm not the only one. And he presses in, and Gandhi goes, no, you don't get it. You don't get it. I love your Jesus, but I could never become a Christian, for I've met far too many of them. I've met too many. I have friends that say the same thing. But let's be honest, the only people who don't have church hurt have never been to church. Lord, forgive us. Let this never be said from this day forward of this church or of Toms River or the Jersey Shore at all. Yet this is still true for so many people in America and all over the world. There's a band that I liked, and the lead singer ended up committing suicide a number of years ago. wrestle with depression and sadness and melancholy and so many of those types of things. And I just have to wonder if there was a church in that town that had a promise team, would something have been different? If there was a church in that town that just said, I'm not going to yell at you, I'm just going to hold your hand and pray for you. I'm not going to look down, I'm going to lift you up instead. Maybe, just maybe, he wouldn't have written these words. You read to me from the riot act way on high, and you clasp a crisp New Testament yet breathing fire. Will you save me with fake benevolence? I don't have time. I'm just too far gone for a telling. I've lost my pride. See, I don't mind being lonely, so just leave me alone. You're acting all holy when you know I'm just full of holes. Well, I can dip my head in that river and cleanse my soul, but I still have the stomach of a sinner and a face like an unholy ghost. Will you save me with fake soliloquies? I paid my fines, and I'll be gone before my deliverance, so preach what you like, because I don't mind being lonely. So please just leave me alone, because you're acting all holy when you know I'm just full of holes. I wonder if maybe a pastor walked up and said, I'm full of holes too. Because there's only two types of pastors. There's pastors who are broken and full of holes, and those that are broken and full of holes and lie to you. None of us are perfect on this side of glory, and yet we try to be better than we are. And I'm not saying we don't want to pursue holiness or sanctification. We do, but it's grace-driven. How many houses can we see from this building with people who could sing that very song? And praise God, we're about to have almost 20 events that we can go and pray for them, hold their hand, see them, walk with them, share the gospel story. Guys, this is why the gospel of grace is so important, because people are full of holes. We've been told we were born with a God-sized hole, and as we grow up, people punch a whole lot more. It's important because it's honest about our sinful state. The gospel's honest. The gospel declares you're so much worse than you ever thought, but you're so much more loved than you could ever believe. The gospel isn't three steps to a better this, because what if I do all three steps and I'm not better? The gospel's not five habits for a successful that, because what if I do all five steps and I'm still not successful? No, because I preach this gospel of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I preach it because I need it. I will only ever give you what I need myself. I preach this gospel because you need it. I preach this gospel because everyone outside of these walls needs it. And if you didn't realize it, there's only people inside the walls and outside the walls. Everyone needs this gospel, even if they don't quite realize it just yet. And to get to the gospel, we must first agree with Paul in saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Amen. Right? We'll get there. But we also have to get to the point where we say that I am the worst of them all. Because if any of you lied to me as much as I lied to me, I would never trust you ever again. If you lied to me a quarter of the amount I lied to me, I would never trust you again. And yet for some reason, I still believe myself. Maybe you disagree. Maybe you think that we just hired some sinful preacher from down south, and maybe we need to put the search committee back out. So let's try. I know a few weeks ago, Andrew took you guys to the Ten Commandments, and I know you guys all passed with soaring colors with that, right? 10 out of 10 all around. So let's go somewhere else. Let's try somewhere else. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. Past 24 hours, have you just burst out into prayer and worship and adoration and glorifying God for everything you ate, everything you drank, and that includes the midnight snack when you were half awake. And Jesus blessed the food doesn't mean you glorified him.
Does the food
speaking
down the parkway?
All right, so anyone one-for-one, every single thing you put in your mouth was for the glory of God and for the salvation of others. Anybody? No? Okay. So 0-for-1, all of us. Okay, let's keep going. Maybe you know. We'll get better. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always. Pray consistently. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Okay, so here, let's just live their whole life. Say just the past week, since we saw you last week. Who here has rejoiced in each and everything that's happened to you this week? Everything, when you got cut off, praise God, I got cut off. That person just needed to get there first, right? When that pot, that it had a nice, big agave in it, fell right on your toe and it's still black. I don't really rejoice in that. I'm rejoicing that it's not as bad as I thought it was. Or pray consistently. Who here has been praying nonstop since you woke up this morning? I have no idea to go into nighttime. Anybody? Okay, so we're not doing too well. Not doing too well at all. Everything? Thanks in everything? That's hard. I've yelled at God over this verse. Most of y'all know my story by now, and I went hoarse a few times. Everything. It's tough. And maybe, just maybe, you're one of the few that has done pretty well on this quiz. So let's just go right to the words of Christ Jesus, our Lord. What is the standard to not be a dirty, rotten sinner? Matthew 5:48. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. He didn't say be better than your neighbor. Be perfect. Any perfect people out there? If so, I will gladly step down. You can move into the house. I only got one room set up, so it'll be easy to move out. No, we're not perfect. And we go, it's just human, right? No, it's just sinful. Because we are so much more sinful than we want to admit. It terrifies us to say, I am still this sinful. But we are. And yet, the beauty is that Christ knows us fully and loves us fully. We can take the mask off of Jesus. He knows exactly who we are, and he loves us all the same. Let me ask you some questions. We mentioned the Promise Team, and I hope you guys go out with us. It really is something that will ripple out into eternity. To put it frankly, this area is, 4% Christian? 96% of the people you see every day are going to hell. Let's call a spade a spade. I don't like preaching hell. But it's real, and that's why we go out, because we love them. And because someone once loved us. Let me ask you, when we have, after a Promise Team event, we have some young lady walk in, and she's dressed to the nines for the club in Atlantic City on Saturday night, and it's stuff that might just be inappropriate for Sunday morning. What are we going to do? Are we going to gossip about her, or are we going to gospel her? Are we going to love her or lie about her? Are we going to push her away or pull her in? Praise God she felt safe to come through those doors. I just came from a church where I was told on 3 occasions, this church had a place for people like blank. I don't want to see it here. I don't want to see it in any church ever again. When a girl like that walks through the doors, are we going to say that we need to protect our children, or are we going to see a broken child of God who needs to be protected herself? That'll show if we really believe this gospel of grace. Or how about when a young man walks in the doors, and from first glance we can tell he's not just hungover, he's still a little bit drunk. He smells like the beer he poured on himself last night when he was driving home from the bar. Well, maybe, just maybe, last night he cried out and said, I'll go to my last shot before I take a final shot. I know stories that have gone down that way, and praise God, I know some stories where Jesus showed up at the right time with the right person, and that person, and they are doing great. When that person walks in the door, what are we going to do? I say, hey, let's take them out to a good lunch, because, after nights like that, you usually want some greasy food. Not that any of us would ever know that. Or how about this one? I think this one's going to hurt us the most. When some young kids come in, because we've gone to some football games, we've talked to them. Like, Gen Z is, they're buying Bibles. There's a revival going on right now. And when they come in, it'll end up happening. I promise, I've seen it at churches that see revival. At some point, some kid is going to get bored, probably not even worship. It'll probably be another week at the pulpits up here. And he's going to do the unthinkable. He's going to carve his initials into the back of one of our pews. And what will happen if we see revival, I promise you. And in that moment, are we going to worship the building we enter, or are we going to worship the God who the building is for? Because there's only two options in that scenario. Are we going to love them? Are we going to say, you can't come back? Or are we going to say, hey, bring all of your friends? We can cover it up. We can repaint it. Or maybe we can just have those initials etched in. What if the initials etched in to the back of pews became the story of revival that started here? Oh, wouldn't it be good? God can do it. But we got to keep going. See, I just took like 3 weeks off. I could preach all 3 sermons in a row. We got to keep going. And guys, these are not random hypothetical questions. Each one of these is something I have witnessed myself. I have also seen someone who still despises the name of Christ because they walked in the door and the person didn't love them. Said, oh, you can come back when you're clean enough. And yet here I was thinking Jesus was the one that cleans us. See, I know that Jesus can clean up those people I listed because I know he can clean up me. He has cleaned up me. He is continually cleaning up me because there's not a day that goes by that I don't cry out, God, make me more like you. If we really understood the gospel, we would become more holy, not less, because I just want to be more like Jesus. I don't have to be. I get to be more like Jesus. So we started these promising events. Lord, one, we're going to get people like that coming through the doors. My prayer is at least one every single week. And not just for the year. My prayer is a new person every single week till Jesus comes back. Which means that a few years down the road, we're going to have to talk about 2 services. Years after that, I pray we have to figure out, we got to plant churches. How are we going to reach this community? If we really pray and seek revival, I think God will get it, but he will only send people to safe people. And safe people are those that say, hey, me too. I'm just a beggar at the door of God's mercy. Let me show you where to find the best bread. This happens, we're going to get coffee stains on the carpet. We're going to hear the occasional swear word inside these walls. People are going to vote different than us and then argue with us about it and not know they're wrong. That's going to be a tough one. For me too. Well, I'm in that camp. We're going to get girls who aren't wearing enough and guys who act out because they've been told their whole lives they're not enough. Are we going to love them? Someone stepped in and loved us. We will, I pray, become a place that people will say about us what they said about Christ himself in Matthew 11:19 and in Luke 7:34, friend of sinners. Let me clarify. That doesn't mean just go out to every party on Friday night, right? Jesus hung out with sinners and pulled them up. Sometimes God says step away from friends, and sometimes God says step in. That's why we have to be people of the word and people of prayer and listen to the Holy Spirit, the word, and our Christian brothers and sisters. Guys, we're going to bring in the beat up, the broken down, people who are ruined by their own sins and the sins of others. In other words, our goal is to bring in sinners. And you guys are doing great. You already brought in one. You guys ever sat in a church base behind? My name's Winchester. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. But praise God, because what we just read says that Christ Jesus came to save sinners. So if I wasn't a sinner, I'd just be out of luck. I'd rather be with Christ forever in a slum than with Adam forever in a garden. But praise God, we get better. I want us to be the type of church I think of when I think of churches, dream of churches, pray of churches. And your bulletin you have here, promise team. And Tim should have put this other thing on the back. It would be like four slides. I got 42. I wasn't trying to save some. I got this thing. You can keep it. And when you start to talk yourself out of going to these events, I want you to read this on the back. And I want you to, with me, because this is what I want people, when they think of New Life Church, to think about this. And I believe we ain't too far off. And we're going. Listen to these words spoken by one of my dear friends. Now, we've never met. He's a Dove guy, died about 100 years ago, but I consider him a friend. I can't wait to introduce myself. You should all have Dove friends. They write great stuff. But hear these words, and just curious, let me know if there's anyone in here that doesn't go, oh, I want that too. I want that too. Give yourself to the church. You, the members of the church, have not found it perfect. And I hope that you almost feel glad you have not. If I had never joined a church till I had found one that was perfect, I would have never joined one at all. And the moment I did join it, and listen, guys, this is the Prince of Preachers. I mean, he was the celebrity pastor of his day. Listen to what he says. If I had found one, I should have spoiled it, for it would not have been a perfect church after I had become a member of it. Still, imperfect as it is the dearest place on earth to us. Amen? Anyone? Has anyone else? We're in the walls of the church, and we're in the community of faith, said this is the dearest place on earth. Oh, it is. It is. All who have first given themselves to the Lord should, as speedily as possible, also give themselves to the Lord's people. How else is there to be a church on the earth? If it is right for anyone to refrain from membership in the church, it is right for everyone. And then the testimony of God would be lost to the world. As I have already said, the church is faulty. I love when people tell me they don't want to come to church because we're hypocrites. And I say, well, then you'll fit right in. Awesome. You know how we operate. No. But that is no excuse for you not joining it if you are the Lord's. Nor need your own faults keep you back. Someone needs to hear that this morning. Your own faults do not need to keep you back. There's another membership class right after this. Come, let's talk. For the church is not an institution for perfect people, but a sanctuary for sinners saved by grace, who, though they are saved, are still sinners and need all the help they can derive from the sympathy and guidance of their fellow believers. The church is the nursery for God's weak children, where they are nourished and grow strong. Praise God. It is the fold for Christ's sheep. It is the home of Christ's family. It's the dearest place on earth. Guys, I'm only honest. I believe, I nerd out on stats and podcasts and what's going on in church, and I've been in a number of denominations and a number of parts in the world. And I believe that in the Western world, and I've also worked at a church in Europe for a while, I think the number one reason for empty seats in pews today is that the people who are in the seats no longer find the gospel amazing. It's old news. It's last year's cotton. You'll catch on. I got some southern phrases. We stand like Caesar in front of that gladiator who bellowed out, "Are you not entertained?" and can't even get out of our chair. As I mentioned, I love old hymns. I'll be honest though, Greg. My favorite is when you have updated music and most of the words the same. I was listening to them this morning. And one of the ones that I love that I grew up on, I must have all of the world. I mean, I love all. I wasn't a dick, sorry, I really came out that way. I'm tongue in cheek. Who could remember this one? I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful.
faithful is my Savior's love for me.
You're all a bunch of liars. Hey, you guys know it's lying even if it's to music, right? I mean, you guys have been very evangelistic with me. You guys have been evangelistic about which sports team to cheer for, which pizza restaurant to go to. I made the mistake my first day here. I went and introduced myself. I'm the new pastor, shared a little bit of the gospel, and I got suckered into one that no one here has recommended. It is pretty good, though. So if you guys are ever watching online, love your pizza, lunch special. I'll be there this week. Right? Aren't you really amazed? Because when we're amazed, we talk about stuff. When we're amazed that our team won the Super Bowl, we buy the shirt and the hat, and we wear it out. We buy two just so we can have one to keep in the closet. When we're amazed, it spills out over us. When we're amazed, it's almost like that thing I read somewhere was true. Pretty good author. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You guys ever met a newlywed couple and you had to say, hey, talk more about your spouse? No, their heart is overflowing. They are marveling at their love. When was the last time you marveled at the beauty of the gospel? See, when we think we're only this big of a sinner, the cross is only this marvelous. And no, I'm this big, which means the cross is so much more glorious than I could ever imagine. Though my sin is great, the cross is greater still. And guys, if I'm only this much of a sinner, I only got this much cross. When was the last time you were moved to tears when considering the love of Christ for you? I know what you're going to say, right? I'm from Alabama. Men don't cry. I got to be Uncle Winchester. I came to visit here in November. I went right out to Oregon. And one of my buddies, one of my best friends, will probably listen to this. I was watching his son. His son thought that, okay, I'm not going to go to dad. I'm going to stay here with Uncle Winchester. Well, I'm watching this football game. If you're here, we're watching football. We're not doing anything else. When he starts getting whiny and cries, I said, hey, no, I'm not doing that. Not, hey, look, you're a guy. Crying is allowed because of Jesus, a death, a girl, or the Grand Canyon, right? So which one is it? We're not near the Grand Canyon. You still think girls have cooties. We're not crying over cartoons. But yet, even this morning, I teared up just thinking, he would save me. I'm getting flash 10 minutes, so I can't go into it, and I got to skip a page or two of notes here. Let me tell you my story sometime. If I was God, I wouldn't have saved me. I would have sent me where I deserved to go. And if it'll pique your interest to hear my story, even asked him to go. When was the last time you were truly amazed that Christ saved you? Or you think you were just kind of grandfathered in? We were talking to someone one time back in Alabama, and they just could not comprehend what I was saying. Of course I'm a Christian. My grandma plays the organ. You know, so God has children from every tribe, tongue, and nation, but he has not one single grandchild. When was the last time that amazed you? And I got to confess, it doesn't amaze me as much as I wish it did. I wish it was every day, but I know if it was every day, I would wish it was every hour. Guys, the gospel isn't get better, try harder. The gospel isn't pull yourself up by your bootstraps. The gospel is the declaration that you don't even own a pair of boots. It's all of Christ. A British minister back in the day said it this way, by the law we see our misery, and by the gospel we see our remedy. It rhymes, has to be true. Be better, try harder, can only show you how bad you are. Do you even live up to your own standard? And don't you say yes to me. Because I got some friends who are stoics, and they even confess they don't do it. Because Jesus did not come to make good people out of bad people. No. And we're jumping in here now to our second thing. We talked about the sinner for most of our time. That was intentional. Now we're talking about salvation. Right? Ephesians 2 spells it out beautifully. And you were dead. Not almost dead. Right? You guys remember the movie? I was almost dead. Okay. We'll have your movie night. Okay. Nerdy stuff from the early 90s, late 80s. Francis Bride. Okay. You were dead, completely dead, like Lazarus type dead, in the sins in which you previously walked according to the way of this world, according to the ruler of the power of the air. That means before you were in Christ, you served the devil. Even if you didn't have a 666, either Jesus or the devil, there's no middle team. But here, go to the next one. For time's sake, we'll kind of fly through these. But God, the two most powerful words in the English language, but God. I deserved hell, but God. I was suffering depression and doubt, but God. And sometimes the depression and doubt doesn't go away. He's just in there with you. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ. Even though we were dead in our trespasses, you've been saved by grace. For time's sake, we'll skip through. But he goes, like, it's a gift. It's not of works. He doesn't say once you muster up 1% of faith, I'll give you 99% of grace. No, he gives us 100%. If Christ just got us to the 1 yard line, we'd lose the game. Yeah, I come from Alabama. I got some football references. We can so often think that the gospel is a list of things we must do, but nothing is further than the truth. No, I love the words of Martin Luther when he penned, the law says do this, and it is never done. Grace says believe in this, and everything is already done. One of y'all grabbed me after my first Lord's Day service here and asked me the question, when were you saved? And I wasn't trying to be funny or sarcastic or blow you off. I answered the way I normally answer that question. It's, I believe, theologically correct, and I'll take you to lunch and tell you why I'm right about answering this way. When were you saved? And my answer is about 2,000 years ago on a hill outside of Calvary. See, when he saved me fully, freely, and forever. Jesus didn't make a purchase without knowing what he was getting. Some of us live lives, God forgive us for believing the lie. Some of us believe the lie and even tell our own selves the lie that Jesus is up in heaven trying to find that gift receipt. And if he ever finds it, he's taking you right back. No. He didn't get a gift receipt on the cross. He said paid in full. You know, it is finished was a legal term. It meant debt paid, completely done, burn the document. It is finished. When you consider your own salvation, guys, remember this, you contribute nothing to your salvation except the sin that made it necessary, and that makes Christ so much more beautiful. If he saved you because he could benefit from doing it, we've all had that person that uses you. If Christ doesn't use us, he's not trying to recruit enough of us so he can defeat the devil, because he's going to win. If you read the last book, he comes down, armies with him, he's the only one that fights. He doesn't need us. He wants us. We all know it's true that God loves us, but do you guys want to hear a secret? It's scandalous. He likes you too. He doesn't just love you, he likes you. Christ himself said, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy, my burden light. Anyone else this week felt a little bit weary? Okay. Burdened? Rest sounds good, doesn't it? To be with someone? You ever been around that person you can just take the mask off with? And you're safe. You know, they ain't going nowhere. That's him. We read also that of Christ, he will not break a bruised reed, and he will not put out a smoldering wick. That means when you got nothing left, when we're singing about having fire, and you're not even sure if there's an ember left, Christ goes, yeah, that's my ember. I got you. You're mine. I won't put you out. I'm not going to put you through the ringer. No. When we're bruised, he doesn't break us. And you can't say that about a lot of places in this world. And look at what he just said about his own self. In John chapter 6, verses 37 through 40, Christ says, look, this is why I've come, to do the will of my Father. And the disciples go, okay, what's that, Jesus? I'm happy they asked dumb questions, because I ask dumb questions. Makes me feel like I can actually, you know, do something. If those guys are on the team, they're all welcome. And Jesus says, everyone the Father gives to me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will never cast out. And he pretty much just repeats that a few times. But again, go and read it. You got it in your notes. I will never cast you out. But what about when I blow it? I won't cast you out. Oh, but what about when I wrestle? Oh, I won't cast you out. What about when I show up at church and I put on the mask and I lie about how I'm doing? How'd you do it? Too blessed to be stressed. No, you're not. This should be the safest, most honest place in the world, but I believe that the most lies told during the week are Sunday morning between the hours of 10 and noon. I'm doing great. I'm doing blessed. When this should be the place where it's safe to say, I'm broken. I'm hurting. I need some help. Praise God, I've been at some churches like that. Praise God, so far my experience here has been like that. So don't ruin it if it's not. If it's not like that, we can just start today and I would never know the difference. Listen to what Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, says about Christ, just reveling in who Christ is. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we can receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Guys, that's my Jesus. I hear a lot of people talking about Jesus and the Jesus they describe that they hate. I go, I don't like that Jesus either. This is my Jesus. My Jesus is the one that said, hey, I know you're going to go through it. I'll go through it first so you don't have to go alone. You ever gone through something and you just need someone who's been there before? Jesus has been there before, not because he had to, but because he wanted to. Guys, that's the Jesus that I run to day after day after day. And there's been some days that Jesus, instead of me running to him, he's chased me down, and I'm thankful he did it. Maybe some of you as well. And I will say, if you're in this room today, I believe you fall into one of two cases. Either you're chasing after Jesus or he's chasing you down. So I'm just going to invite you today, as we come to close, just consider this Jesus, right? That yes, we're all broken, bedraggled, and beat up, but Christ came to save to the uttermost. Run to Jesus this morning. Maybe you haven't run to Jesus in years. Run to him this morning. His arms are wide open. Maybe you haven't run to Jesus. Maybe it hasn't been years, but months, or maybe weeks or days, or maybe you ran to him during worship and you just want to run right back because we're singing again. Or maybe, just maybe, there's someone in this room that's never really run to him at all. Maybe you heard about him. Maybe you saw other people run around him, but you've never run to him. Come and talk to me. I'm going to sit on the front pew during the last song, and I'm going to hang out up front. I would love to buy you coffee or tea, pizza or pastries. Let's work this out. Run to Jesus. As we go to end, we'll have our final closing song, In Christ Alone. The band can start coming up. I love this song. Oh, goodness gracious, I'm probably going to tear up like a girl that just got asked to prom singing this one. And sometimes when we sing, we don't really process the words, we just say it. So as the band's walking up, as Andrew is about to come and do our rap, I just want to read the words from the first and last stanza to you. I want you to listen to them. And I would even encourage you to, as we sing, don't just sing these words, but make this a prayer put to melody. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest droughts and storms. What heights of love and what depths of peace. When fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all. Oh, here in the love of Christ I stand. No guilt in life and no fear in death. Because that's, you find a die like that, and they will remember your name in 100 years. John Wesley once said, revival is simple. have one man truly catch flame, and the city will come and watch him burn. May it start here. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to the final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, in law I'm a man, no scheme of Winchester can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. So again this morning as we sing this song, Run to Jesus, you can run to Jesus in your pew. You can run to Jesus sitting down in prayer. You can run to Jesus standing up with arms up or down. You can run to Jesus by grabbing me or Andrew to pray. You can run to Jesus by grabbing maybe that friend that invited you. But run to Jesus. Every one of you today, don't let the sun go down until you run to Jesus. And when you do, you'll find his arms strong enough to catch you. And his embrace will be sweet.
John, Jesus' friend, the disciple, in his first epistle or letter, wrote these words. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. He continues and he says, my little children, I am writing these things so that you may not sin. And that is God's desire, that we don't keep doing it. But, does anyone own the but? But, that's right. But, if anyone does sin, what do we have? We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He himself is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for those of the whole world. So we come today and we have a promise of forgiveness of sin. We have a promise of life. We just need to go to Jesus. Right? As I close, maybe you need someone to pray with you today. Winchester will be up front here near this table. I'm going to sneak him back and I will be in back. If you want to pray with someone, we'd love to pray with you. Maybe you're saying, I haven't trusted Jesus as my Savior, and I need that forgiveness of sin because I know I'm a sinner, and I know I need that forgiveness. Stop and talk to us. You have that communication card, write your name on there. Indicate you want to have a conversation, we'll follow up with you. Folks, we're going to take the offering, so...